It's the Fire Zone Show. Man, I forgot to play the intro. All right. Hold on. We're going to do this. I'm going to play. Nobody's going to hear this part. This is just for me and you. I'm going to play the intro. Let's do this again. Ready? All right. Here we go. Start from the top.
The appetite is tremendous. So I'm going to spend this. Track with some violence because they asked me to end this. Some trouble out of coke because I was nauseous. Some brother tried to take advantage because of the kamikaze. He took a sweep from my head, thought I was faded. Start running for the door, but it seems he never made it. The sound of the nine went, yeah. And I don't care to blast, cause it ain't no thing. Cause I'm a brother you can't sleep on, so set the alarm because I hit and
destroy. Now we're back on the Fire Zone Show. Little inside baseball, y'all don't need to know about that. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Ravens defense and the win up there in Cincinnati, 27-24 over the Bengals. As always, I'm joined by Denar Melton at the Fire Zone Show on Twitter. Denar, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Some good sports out of the great state of Maryland this weekend. On top of that, JMU backed up their win at UVA and went down to the Troy. I think they're Trojans. Went down there and beat the Sun Belt Division champions from last year, conference champions. So it was a good weekend for sure.
The head of Dukes, man, they've been doing their thing early this season. And like you said, you know, Orioles, Ravens. I mean, it was good weekend. For Baltimore and Maryland sports and the Dukes. But, man, the Ravens game, we were just talking about it before we hit record. It was just a thing of beauty. You know what I mean? Particularly on the defensive side, since that's what we're here to talk about. It really was just a thing of beauty because you could see a coordinator in Mike McDonald who has a really good handle on what the Bengals want to try to do, understands his players, and you know, kind of the calls to put guys in the positions to do what they do best. And it's just a beautiful thing when all of that comes together. And it came together on Sunday.
It did. It was as a coach, when you look at your football team from game one to game two, two things you're going to find out what type of football team you're going to have. You're going to start learning about it. And the two things are you either get worse or you get better. And the defensive performance the week before was at best sketchy with some things that were going on in the secondary, some guys who were coming back from injury. Okay. Game two, that looked like a team that was well prepared. They understood their assignments, they were crisp. Their tackling was amazing, especially for week two when a lot of those guys didn't get us some reps in the preseason. That is, you can tell that they put an emphasis on that during practice. Bring your feet, get in there with your whole body, not diving at tacklers, not doing this, and it's really starting to pay off. And you're going to see some guys staying more healthy on the defensive side of the ball because of it.
It's amazing the difference that good tackling makes. You can just tackle consistently and yeah, there's going to be, you know, 4 or 5 yard runs here and there. Yeah. There's going to be, you know, completions under 10 yards here or there, but if you can just tackle the ball and then line up and play the next down, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, sometimes that next down, they get a sack or they get a pressure and force a throwaway or they get a TFL on a run. You just never know. Right. But if you can limit those big plays, which, you know, they had really, it's just that one to Mixon. I mean, everything else was kind of like a 10, 15, 16 yarder. That one where he kind of leaked out of the backfield. Hamilton kind of got caught because they faked the little end around to Chase. And I think he thought Chase had the ball. And then Mixon goes up that right sideline. That was like 30 yards. But that was it.
That was it.
That really was it. They really didn't have any other like major busts the rest of the game, and really, you know, no explosive plays that they really allow. I mean, they, by their numbers, I don't know what they use for explosive pass, explosive run. Maybe they had some, but That was like the biggest one. So if you can make them go the long, hard way, if you make any team go the long, hard way over and over and over again, I think you're going to have a good shot to be in that game. And just gave up 14 points, man. I mean, aside from the punt return, which is a separate deal, but on defense, give up those 14 points and your offense comes out and puts up 27.
Yeah. It's one of those philosophies as a defensive guy and defensive players is just get the ball on the ground. Just get it on the ground. Doesn't matter if it's at the 1 yard line, like you said, you never know that next snap. That ball could be on the ground. That could, you know, change the tide. We've seen it in the NFL. Guys get down to the 2 yard line, didn't extend the ball, didn't do something. Two plays later, there's a fumble. There's some touchback with some obscene rule. Yep. In the
NFL. Maybe you'll pick it off down there in the red zone. We saw that.
Yes.
In this game. So you just don't know. But what you do know is if you give yourself a chance to play the next play, anything can happen. You know, totally. If you give up those big plays, you know, especially to the crib, you know, you're probably going to have an uphill battle in that game. So none of that happened, which was good. But let's get into it. We'll do what we normally do. We'll go position by position because I think there's some individuals and maybe even some groups that really kind of shined and had good games going into it. So we'll start up front with the big fellas, the defensive line. We talked about this too in our little chat. The Bengals RPO game is legit. Got to respect it. And you could tell the Ravens approach was almost like, hey, we'll play this thing with five or six. we really think that we can defend your run with five or six guys. And by and large, they did. I mean, Mixon, you know, had a couple, like I said, some little sustaining type runs, some 4, 5, 6 yarder ones. But for the most part, they kept a lid on him, and it was the guys up front.
What I loved about this game plan is they understood who Joe Burrow is right now. He is at that time of the game. He was a 75%, 85% somewhere in there health wise. So he wasn't going to leave the pocket a lot. And if he was, it wasn't going to be what we've seen from Joe in the playoffs when he'll, you know, escape and really rip one. Well, you can kind of see that he doesn't have the velocity because he can't drive off of that calf. So as a defensive coordinator, I know I have to show him a lot of colors. Because he's going to want to be on time with throws. And I think it was important with the game plan, particularly with the guys up front, that we didn't see in previous years before Mike McDonald got here. It was a lot of line stunts.
Yeah.
A lot of freedom up front with guys can call games on the fly. Or if they see something, they can, you know, motion to the guy next to him like, hey, I'll do this. You can come loop around because I think, you know, I got something going on. A lot of muddle type ideas with some physicality in the cone of the pocket was awesome up front. And you had, you know, Clowney, you had Pierce, who is my man, has shown up. My man has become who he was before he left for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He really showed up in that game. I would say even Adabo, he's learning how to play the run better. He can be a little more physical at the point of attack.
He had to get dirty.
But he's getting in there. He's flying in the football. He's one of those dudes like you've told him in practice, you're like, I need you to stop thinking about going 100%, 100 miles an hour, and just go 100%, go 100 miles an hour. Like, I don't care if you're like a half a click late over the pile. I want you in the pile. Like, I don't care. Like, just go. Stop thinking. And I think it's starting to work with him. Like, just go. Just play. Be free.
Yeah, and it's like in the run game. You're right. There's a couple of plays in this game. I kind of was noting them down where he's, like, taking on a tight end's block, and he's coming off the tight end. His run starts out going away from him, and then it comes back to him. So he's got to get off that tight end block. And he's more catching the running back than actually delivering the blow. But I'm like, hey, he stuck his head in there. So, you know, let's give credit where credit is due. Cause you know, maybe in the previous game, maybe in the preseason, he might be a step late or a beat late to even close down on that run. But now he's getting in there and he's, you know, it's almost like you can see him understanding the physicality, the level of it you got to play with up here. This is different. I mean, he's been playing ball. He played in Michigan. He understands, you know, football obviously is physical, but it's a different level. The run game up here is a different level. And it's almost like you can see him working that out. You talked about Pierce and Travis Jones, man. Those dudes, good job anchoring against double teams, keeping the linebackers clean. And then when guys come off and they're back to being 1v1, they're making the tackle. They're basically just two-gapping their guy and then making the tackle. So they're stout inside with the guys that they got, and even coming off the edges. You know, we didn't get to see full game from Owe because guy kind of fell. I think it was their right guard got pushed down and kind of fell on his ankle. And he tried to come back and go. That was like in the second quarter. And then he tried to come back like early third quarter, but he couldn't really put any weight on it. So it really became Clowney and Ojabo and a little bit of Tavius Robinson that they were relying on. We already talked about Clowney was on a mission. I mean, he was wrecking that right tackle's world the entire game.
Something was said, or somebody's girlfriend was stolen in high school. I think honestly that he was mad, and we've talked about this off stream. I think he was mad about how the Watson situation played out in Cleveland. Because you can kind of see once Watson came back to the football team, Clowney kind of did one of those. Like I think the situation was just too much at that point.
Yeah, I'm done with y'all.
I'm done. And coming here is a fresh start. And he's even mentioned it, and he said it out loud, like, this is what a quality, you know, organization is supposed to be.
Yeah, that ain't just something you say.
No, you don't give out glowing praises to people.
Yeah,
like someone, you know, just random organization that you just showed up for 3 weeks. No, this man has been in the league for going on his 10th season. He's seen some stuff. Yep. And you know, I think being here, he now, his level, he knows he can go to another level because he's got guys who are going to come with him. He's got Roquan. He's got PQ. He's got Owe. He's got Travis Jones. He's got guys. He's got a system. And everybody around the system believes in the system. And a guy like him can walk in, see it for its natural beauty, and go, oh, they really need me. I can fit in a role here and be very comfortable in doing that. And I think that's, it's working to our favor. It seems like he's already very comfortable in the defense. I think it's also not hampering Justin Madubuike. I think he's just coming off slow. But I think it has a little bit to do with it because they both kind of play in essence the same way in terms of slashing gaps and doing those types of things. And Clowney has a little more freedom at end than the tackle does inside.
Yeah.
So Clowney jumps inside. That means Justin has to redirect, go outside, and be more of the contain guy. So I think once they get in a rhythm of that and you know, Clowney's not always having the crash and he's a little more familiar with the guy next to him. Like, hey, I'm going to give you a straight rush, or hey, do you want the freedom to call what you want? So that will come.
Yeah. The more that we've talked about this in years past about how guys learn how to rush together.
Yes. You
know, groups of guys who play together, learn how to rush together. And it's a cohesion. You know, and it takes time, right, to understand, okay, I'm going to do this here, you're going to do that there. Like you said, they're giving little signals or kind of, you know, just communicating before the snap or even just during the play, just reading it out. Like, okay, mm-hmm. he's going in. Okay, let me wrap out here. It just takes time, you know, playing together to kind of work all of that out and find that rhythm. So I have no doubt that'll come. They definitely got the talent for it to happen. But, man, one thing, just a little side note about Connie. It stuck out to me the last two games. It's probably the number. It's probably the 24. He looks a lot leaner than I thought he was, like coming from Cleveland. Like, he looked bigger watching him on tape last year. But now he's like a big safety.
he's just a huge human being.
Yeah.
He's just long.
That's right. He's like long and lean. He's not like big, thick, wide dude, but he's
like 270, right? 275?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it though. It doesn't look like
he looks like 230, but then he's like 6'6. So he's just like, you're just aggressively tall human.
Yeah, and he is powerful, man. I mean, he just runs into beast, smashes I'm like, I love it because anytime I see guys who come here and play like that, it reminds me of McPhee. We just could be violent as hell, right?
Yeah.
Technique, moves, yeah, that matters. But you know what also matters? If I'm just violent as hell, something good's probably going to happen. One way or the other.
Speaking of a sidebar, I saw a bunch of clips on Twitter where these D tackles have learned this new move. Kind of that hesitation, the hizzy, like they'll rush and stop, and the offensive lineman will stop their, like, not just stop their feet just for a second, and it's just like straight up bull rush, swat, and you're just guards just going over. I'm like, I don't even know how you combat that if you got that type of strength.
Mm-mm. I don't know what you do. There was this thing Rex Ryan used to have in one of his old playbooks, like his Jets playbook. When he had like a nose tackle, like one on one with a center, he called it forward over rooster, like a Ford truck running over.
Right.
This is what's supposed to happen. When I got you on this person, just run him over. Just run through him and run him over. And that, once you set those guys up like that and they stop their feet and then they got to try to re-anchor and restart their feet, that's usually not a good place for them to be. Yeah. So, they've got some guys who can do it too, for sure. And Pierce and Pierce had a good game rushing too. He had a couple little nice moves against the Bengals right guard. So it was good. It was a good game for those guys up front. Seen Clowney drop a few times, but I think that's just part of their defense. Everybody who comes here and is going to be at either one of those rush or Sam spots, you're going to drop in this defense at times. That's just they did it with just Houston. Like, it don't matter. It don't matter what your pedigree is as a rusher. They're going to drop you at times. Maybe not at times.
Yeah, you got to take that opportunity to be like, you know what? I'm going to try to get me a pick.
Yeah. Hey, ball might be coming.
I can go for six. You know, this is my time to shine.
There was a couple in this game where I could see Ojabo potentially getting one because they've been dropping. Usually when he's out there, he'll drop a little bit more than Clowney. There could be some opportunities for him. It's probably still moving 100 miles an hour for him right now, but when things start to kind of slow down a little bit, there's going to be some chances for him to jump some of that underneath stuff on the backside because it's people coming across to his side. He's dropping opposite, and they're coming across. And, you know, he's just late to it or just doesn't see it or whatever. But once things start to slow down, he's going to be able to maybe jump some of those. He's athletic enough to do it too. He's another dude that's bigger than you think. When you see him, I'm like, he's a big dude.
He looks 285, 290.
he's another big looking dude.
Like McPhee, but like even more stockier up top. Like McPhee was stocky, but I feel like Ojabo is a little even more stocky up top.
Yeah, he's wearing that 92, man. I'm telling you, I think it's
wide on him too, like a wide back.
You start to get the flashbacks watching them dudes. All right, inside backer. Got to talk about the inside backers again. This duo, just week in and week out, ever since Rowe got here, it's gotten better. It's like you keep thinking, okay, they got better all throughout the second half of last year. You know, they're going to kind of reach a level and level off. No, they just keep keep going up. They keep climbing. They just keep getting better and better. And sideline to sideline, they run everything down.
Yeah.
They make all the tackles. Yeah. You know, they'll rush, get pressures, get sacks, get QB hits. Obviously they thump in the run game. And like you said, the only maybe little area to critique is, you know, some plays in coverage, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's becoming now to the point when you look at the guys, you're like you said, like, where was the mistake? Like, oh, wait, no, he recovered. Like, he may have been one step over, but he recovered. Or like, I can see how, you know, he didn't get his head around quick enough on a post, but I mean, this is the NFL. That ball is coming 150 miles an hour. So, you know, the biggest thing I've seen in the first 2 weeks is the dramatic improvement of Queen's tackling.
Yeah.
And his confidence level of now attacking backs, now covering backs. Like, it is like night and day. Like, the first 2 years, you could see the fright in him when a running back would flare out or, you know, run up the sideline. Now he sees a back flare, he's like, oh, that's dinner.
Yep.
I'm going to go get that. I'm going to go punish that. Because I am who I am. I am, when I'm protected, when I got big dudes up front, this is who I am. And Roquan's the same way. But he's doing what he's supposed to. He's the physical dude. Like, he's going there and beating the crap out of the center, beating the crap out of the guard, and allowing his D tackles to get off blocks and make plays. So it's this love and cohesion that's so, you don't get this so quickly, except this team's already been together for a year and a half now, basically, in a sense. I mean, Roquan is the final piece, which has been there for the last 8-9 months. But this D-line and the rest of these cats have been in this for 2+ years in terms of defense.
Yeah.
Like, they get it now.
And you can see why they were willing to pay Roquan what they paid. Because they had to see it, obviously, before any of us. Because they're watching it in practice, too. And they're probably like, look, this changes everything. This guy's out here. Yeah. This changes everything. Not just the overall defense. Look what he does for six. Look what he does for him. Look, he's playing at a level we felt like he could play at. We believed he could play at. But we hadn't really seen it consistently before Ro got here. But now they're like, look, it's like you said. The mindset has gone from he's always wanted to make plays. And that's kind of been part of the issue, is like he wants to make plays so bad that sometimes he's doing a little too much. But then also it's like, all right, I got to go out here now in coverage. And if he has a bad play, then it like spirals.
Yeah.
It's in his head. He can't let it go. You know, oh man, am I going to make this next one? I don't want to make that mistake again. And now it's like, none of that's there. It's like, man, I'm going out there. Why are they playing with me? Why are they playing with me right now? Out here. Yeah. And he's got a whole different mindset to it now. It's so much more confident. Now, I don't think he's ever lacked confidence.
No, it wasn't. It's reps.
Yeah.
Once again, he played 1 year in college, basically as a starter. Probably had, we'll call it 1,200 snaps in his college career. That ain't enough.
No. Especially with enough. How many snaps they play in college ball. I mean, some guys are getting close to that in a season. They're getting like 800-900 in a season.
Yeah.
In one.
In right.
One season. You know one season. So, you know, he basically had like the equivalent of 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, worth of college ball, and then he gets up here, and you're immediate starter from day one.
During the pandemic,
all of that, right? All of that going on. But the one thing you can say about him is he doesn't miss games.
Nope.
Right? He's reliable. He's healthy. He's available. Best ability is availability. So you know you're going to get that out of him. You know it means something to him. He wants to be great. He wants to make plays. Earlier on, almost to a detriment, you know, to a fault.
But that's okay. You can pull the reins back.
You can work
on a stallion. You can go, whoa, I gotta tame you first. Yeah. Then I'm gonna let you go.
Yeah.
You need to be broke in first. You need to break him, get him down. Okay. You still that dude, but do it with a a peaceful, violent aggressiveness.
Like John Thompson used to say, when people used to ask him about Allen Iverson, how you doing, Allen Iverson? How you doing, Victor Page? How you doing, all these dudes? He's like, look, I can't motivate a corpse. Give me some people with some energy, with some enthusiasm. Yeah. I can work with that. Yeah. But give me somebody that ain't got a pulse. I can't.
That's all I can do. What am I going to do? Keep kicking him now?
Yeah, that ain't going to work. So
it ain't going to work. He's not motivated now. You think me kicking him is going to motivate him?
Yeah, so I'm really trying to enjoy it, man. I know that, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the contract situation. Obviously, they didn't pick up his fifth year option, so he's either gone or, you know, they do work out something contractually. You know, who knows? But I'm just trying to be in the moment right now and just enjoy it, because you're just seeing two dudes playing at a really high level, playing off of each other, and it's a lot of fun to watch right now, man. We haven't seen linebacker play like this here for a minute. You know what I mean? It's been a couple of years. Obviously, you had all the greatness with Ray, but after that, you know, it's you know, CJ had some very good years. CJ is a really good player. But then I guess you probably have to go back to what, CJ and Daryl Smith? Last time you saw something kind of like this?
Like, thinking about that, like, what combination inside? I mean, you had Ray and Bart.
No.
That was just evil. Yeah, Daryl Smith and CJ. That was decent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, in terms of the last time we've seen something as close to as good as these guys are, that probably was it, because CJ and everybody else after Daryl Smith,
not quite as good. I would have taken Jamie Sharper back at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another.
Oh my God,
We've been spoiled. And here we are again. With Roquan, and then PQ living up to what, you know, everybody thought he could be. So here we are again. So yeah, hey, just enjoy the ride, man. Whatever happens at the end of the year with the contract, that'll be what it's going to be.
Yes,
right. Enjoy it. Secondary, you know, down a man. You know, Marcus Williams out. Geno Stone, you know, has to come in and be the starter in that role. Hamilton is still out there, you know, running all over the damn field. The range that guy has for a guy who, you know, didn't run super fast at the combine, right? Didn't run super fast 40 or whatever. I've said, going back to last year, I don't care what he ran. Just watch him on the field.
Yeah.
Watch how much field he covers.
6'4". And his legs are all bent of 6'4".
Yeah.
That man takes two steps for everybody else's five.
Yeah. Just watch the range.
Giant man, that's why they didn't throw deep. That's why he stayed back there the whole time. Because anything you put out there, he was going to go get.
He'll go get it. And like you mentioned, the corners are you know, kind of settling into this defense. Darby, Rocky Sin is getting some more time out there. Stevens has been solid out there at outside corner, even though it's probably not best natural fit for him. He can do it, obviously, but he's held up well out there. And even at nickel, you know, our Darius Washington, you know, unfortunately we saw news today he's going on IR, so he'll be out at least four games. With a chest injury, that's all they said about it. But, you know, he played, you know, I don't know that I can give him the solid tag in this game. And I like Ardarius. Ardarius is my guy. But he had a couple little issues here and there.
But here's why I appreciate everything that Darius Washington did and has done in the last couple weeks. He's playing in a role that's not suited for him.
Oh, yeah. He was a safety in college.
Yes. Not suited for him, which allowed everyone else to do what they do best. So having a guy who can not just be a body, but be there, be involved, not making a ton of mistakes, so you don't have to move three other pieces and throw off the continuity of your zones.
Yeah.
So I applauded him. I you know, yeah, you would like better out of him, but for the circumstance, for what he is, what he brings to the table, I think he did a very solid job in what he was asked to do in the situation that just was not conducive for him to be successful with 6'4 slot receivers.
Yeah.
With wingspans of 7-foot ninjas.
Yeah. Now that I'm not beating him up on that at all. Cause that's just not a fair fight, right? That's not a gunfight situation. T. Higgins is 6'4, 6'5. Ardarius is like 5'8. That is not, you know, a fair fight right there. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it was cleats or just getting his feet, you know, too far outside of his frame, whatever it was, he slipped a bunch of times trying to come out of breaks and drive on stuff for whatever reason. Could have, you know, I don't know. He wasn't bad. That's not where I'm going. But for guys that I really, really like, and you know this because you've heard me talk about PQ this way for a year and a half now, 2 years. Guys that I really, really like, I tend to be even harder on them. Like the standard is even higher because I like them so much and I feel like, hey, they can be, you know, in PQ's case, I thought he could be one of the better inside linebackers in the league from the jump. He had all the tools to do that. And then Ardarius, I didn't think he was going to come in and play safety in the league, but I felt, you know, he'd kind of go be a jack of all trades type of player for them. He'll probably play some inside. He'll probably play some on the back end. But he has quickness. You know, he gives them something a little bit different at nickel than some of their other guys. Before they drafted Pepe, Pepe and Hilmer kind of similar in how they're built. But of course, Pepe's out for, what, another 2 games before he can come back. So it'll be interesting to see what they do now at nickel. But anyway, we can talk about that in a minute, just focusing on the game. I thought those guys held up really well. We talked about Mike McDonald throwing a bunch of different variations of cover two at Joe Burrow throughout this game. You know, keeping it pretty balanced in terms of pressure. I think he dialed it up a little bit more in the second half, particularly in that last drive. I think just trying to kind of, you know, change things up a little bit because you could see Burrow was maybe starting to get into a little bit of a groove, a little bit of rhythm.
You wanted them to eat more time. And once they got inside the 30 or 40, he started to eat them up a little bit more just because, A, you knew, you know, he wasn't going to go, you know, throwing it deep at that point. And so you're trying to get the ball out quick, and you're relying on your good tackling to spin clock. I think that drive that they gave up against the Bengal offense is exactly the way you play it defensively when you're just trying to milk as much time out of a drive, because you know they're gonna get points.
Sure.
Teams in desperation in that mode, they're gonna get points because eventually you're gonna get tired, but you want them to work. You want them to earn every bit of that drive. If it's you need them to milk 4 or 5 minutes, well, we're going to make them milk every bit of that time to give our offense less time to have to kill at the end of the game.
Yeah, even with the calf injury, Joe Burrow is still Joe Burrow. You know who Chase is. You know who Higgins is, right? Even Boyd and Mixon, mixing in there too. So the last thing you want to do is give up something big, right, in that situation. Right. So if you can keep everything in front of you, yeah, of course you're trying to get 3 and outs and get off the field, get the ball back to your offense. Of course, that's always or get the ball even better, right? That's job number one. But in that situation, I think I agree with you. I mean, that's a perfect way to play it. They eat up a bunch of clock, get the ball back to your offense, and then the offense closes out the game for you. So. Couldn't have asked for it to go any better than it went there at the end. So, you know, they come out of this game relatively healthy, I think. I mean, aside from Ardarius, we talked about that. But they got a little bit of good news earlier this week, too, where I think Harbaugh said Marcus Williams is not going on IR and he's not getting surgery. So there's a chance that, you know, he could be back sooner than they initially thoughts.
So that sounds like they're going to harness him.
Yeah.
Either A, he tore a – I know there's a couple different pec muscles in there. He probably tore one that ain't going to get any worse.
Okay.
So they're basically like, you still have the big one to function. Maybe he tore one of the smaller ones behind it. So he's just like, okay, give me one of those
shoulder
harnesses that's going to limit my range of motion so I can't, you know, yank it all the way out, but still give me enough, still be a very good free safety.
I see. I'm glad you spoke to that, because that's the first thing I thought about when I heard them say that he wasn't going to have surgery. Because right when it happened, we heard them say the next day he's got a decision to make, right, about whether he's going to get surgery or not. So then a week later, when they come out and say he's not going to have surgery, I'm thinking, okay, is he just going to try to play through this? Because it's significant, but it's not significant enough where he's got to have the surgery. It made me think about JK, totally different injury, but just, hey, I'm going to try to play through this. But then you get out there and you realize that it's still not right. So that's what I worry about. Like, he comes back, he's got the harness on, he's got whatever he's got to do. They're shooting him up before they're doing whatever they got to do. And then you realize 2, 3, 4 games back that, hey, this is still not right.
Well,
I worry a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think what the last week was about is seeing if the swelling would come out.
Okay.
And then they probably Thursday or Friday this past week, the swelling went down heavily. And so they got a cleaner picture out of his shoulder. And they were like, okay, here's your options. You can go ahead and get surgery. You're probably back in 10 to 12 weeks, possibly, or maybe even done for a season. Or we can harness you up because you didn't tear the big pack, tore the little pack. And we'll, you'll have to treat it and you'll have to keep the swelling down and you know, do some things, and some things are going to feel a little awkward, but how much, pain can you tolerate?
Yeah, I was going to say, sound like a pain tolerance, dude.
It really is at that point. It's kind of like he's looking at it like, looking at this team like, this Super Bowl caliber.
Yeah, this team could win. I'm looking around,
there are guys here, I want to be a part of this.
This team could win. You could tell, especially after missing the games he missed last year, that he's not trying to do that again.
No, absolutely. He's like,
I need to be out there. Yeah. I need to be out there and I need to be a part of this because we got a chance. We got a chance. I think he knows how good that defense can be. And then those defensive guys, I know they're not in the meetings or whatever, but they see what's happening over there on offense. They know who Odell is. They know they've seen Zay in practice. They're like, okay. We got something over here. They know about Lamar, clearly, but they're like, we got something over here on that side too. So we got a chance. So hey, that was encouraging news, But now, I guess before we get out of here, just looking forward, like real quick, and we'll go deep into it because we're recording on Tuesday, so it's still pretty early in the week. But Colts, man, it's interesting because I know Anthony Richardson is in concussion protocol, but if he gets cleared and comes back. You're dealing with something a little bit different. When you face him, you're dealing with something a little bit different.
Kind of a young Ben Roethlisberger with more legs, obviously, but
like a combo of like Ben and Cam.
Yeah, just fearless. Just I don't care. this is a Super Bowl game. Like, I'm going out here and trying to ball.
He's 6'3", 6'4", 240. I mean, hey.
I mean, that's why the Ravens took a peek.
Sure.
They looked. They were like,
I think everybody saw the ceiling. Everybody said, hey, look, you see the tools, right? Just the physical tools. You saw what he did to combine. You saw what he did playing. Like, just that don't grow on trees, right? You don't find that. Even in the NFL where you got the best of the best. This is special. So for him to hit the ground running and play as well as he's played that first game and a half, I guess, game and three quarters. I don't know exactly when he went out last week. But yeah, if he comes back, then you're dealing with something unique in terms of what you've got to defend, because it's really gonna be, he's a different package because he's obviously a different body type than Lamar, but it's almost like looking at your offense under Greg Roman a couple of years is kind of what you're gonna be dealing with.
Yeah. And you're gonna have to change your rush strategy. Now Clowney can't dive in inside. Gotta have to do some more containment stuff. So, we'll see how it plays out during the week. I would love to see Anthony Richardson, but I think a better matchup for us right now would be Minshew.
Minshew mania, and he's one of those, you know,
he can get classic, hot.
Yeah, he's I didn't show how old I am, but he reminds me this guy used to play for the Knicks, John Starks. Right, John Starks can shoot you in or out of a game.
What did he go? 1 for 21.
He can shoot you in or he can shoot you out. It just depends on, you know, whether he was going to get hot or not. So Minshew, you know, he's that style of player, right? He can get hot and then he can start dealing.
I felt so bad for Starks.
Yeah.
I watched that entire game and he was playing so hard.
That's what he does. What he did. Those teams, I don't know. Even if you weren't like a New Yorker or whatever, I don't know how you could not like those teams with him and Anthony Mason. I mean, they were physical. They were tough. Pat Ewing, you know, was still pretty much in his prime. I mean, he was getting kind of up there in years a little bit.
He was on the tail end of his prime, but he was still doing that fadeaway.
He was still doing work. And when they would go up against the Bulls, man, it was just – it was old school. It was old school. But, that's what Minshew reminds me. He has that style where he can get hot and then he can start dealing. So, I think what can happen sometimes is people, fans, obviously players and coaches don't think about it like this, but fans, if Richardson doesn't go, are like, oh, well, Minshew, okay, we got this. Hey, don't do it to yourself.
Don't do it to yourself.
Maybe it turns out right. Maybe, you know, if he goes – and, you know, the Ravens get after him and he throws some picks or just plays poorly. And then people, I told you, you're getting all worried about Minshew. Hey, it could go that way. And if he plays, I hope it does go that way for the Ravens' sake. But you got to respect everybody because they're in this league for a reason. Yeah, you know, so you just never know. But and the Colts defense, you know, still solid group. You know, they still got some guys over there.
Their secondary is interesting.
Yeah, so it's different.
It's kind of a mirror of their defense is a mirror of the Ravens in a sense.
Yeah, it has. We talked about that before. McDonald, similar, you know, philosophy to how they want to play defense, to what the Colts have had. Even when their guy left, Eberflus, I think was their DC for a long time, and he left, but still similar, you know, philosophy for how they want to play. Bills, we've talked about it before. There's a handful of teams that all kind of share that same philosophy with the way they want to play. So don't sleep on it. I mean, I know it's easy to look past this game and say, oh, they got the Browns and then they got the Steelers, you know, because it's a division game. So I get it. It's important. But, you know, you gotta deal with what's in front of you before you can. Like a friend of mine used to say, shoot the gators closest to the boat. He's like, if you're in a pond and gators getting ready to climb in the boat, don't be worrying about those on the other side of the pond. Let's do it easy to get ready to climb into the boat
in front of you. Absolutely.
So the Ravens know that, obviously. We're not telling them nothing that they don't know what, but I gotta get myself, you know, as the fans, hey man, don't start looking past this one, because you got to deal with it. But anyway, anything else you want to hit on? Are we good?
I'm good in the hood.
All right. Hey, well, y'all know what to do. Like, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend, share everywhere. We'll be back next week, hoping to talk about another impressive defensive performance and another win. Either way, we'll be back. hopefully we can do it under those circumstances. But hey, until then, y'all know the thing. We don't do no overtime.
Check it out, y'all, in the house, y'all, so I can show and flow and let the people know. So won't you ease on down to the yellow brick.